This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, with Father Don Hying, Rector of St. Francis de Sales Seminary.
Brought to you this week by Senglob Financial Group, reminding you to support pro-life causes.
And now, Father Don Hying.
Welcome to the first episode of our new format, New Time Slot. This week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, we have New Heart, New Spirit. Last week, this new series kicked off with Living Our Faith with Archbishop Jerome Listecki and Bob Dolan. So it means every Friday at 9:30 a.m., you should tune in to Relevant Radio to catch Living Our Faith or New Heart, New Spirit. And it's a great way to stay connected to your archdiocese and your seminary. Our one-year anniversary of this radio show was in August, so we're looking forward to bringing you the latest and the greatest good news from the seminary every other week instead of just once a month. We currently, in this new year of formation, have 35 seminarians preparing for the priesthood for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. We also have a seminarian studying for the Diocese of Green Bay. Even though he's only one, this is the first time we've had another diocese send us a seminarian in 20 years, and that's great news for us. If you're interested in finding out more, please email me at newheartnewspirit@sfs.edu or learn more about vocations in the Archdiocese at www.thinkpriest.org. St. Francis de Sales Seminary has produced over 4,000 graduates since it opened its doors in 1845. We have always educated future priests, but you may or may not know that for about 30 years, we also offered additional educational programs. In the 1970s, began the graduate degree program for lay candidates, and in the 1980s, program for the permanent diaconate as well. In 2006, we began academic collaboration with the Sacred Heart School of Theology. And once again, the seminary solely focuses on priestly formation. That doesn't mean that the permanent diaconate and lay ministry has simply vanished, but rather permanent deacons are now formed at the John Paul II Center on Layton Boulevard. And Cardinal Stritch has created an exciting new program at the Clare Center for the theological formation and education of lay people who feel called to ecclesial ministry. So we very much cherish our deacons and our dedicated lay ministers, both those that have graduated from our seminary and all those that serve throughout the Archdiocese in many varied ways of service and ministry. We're blessed to have an active alumni community. And so the Salesianum Alumni Association supports the seminary in its programs and mission, but also strengthens the bond between the seminary and its alums, but also among its alums. The board of directors is selected from among graduates of all the programs, the priesthood program, the diaconate program, the master's program, and the certificate program. We sponsor two events a year. One is a lecture in ethics, and the other is a fall alumni day. And we host gatherings. And the Fall Alumni Day is actually taking place this weekend, September 19th. It's a great way to bring together alumni back to the seminary. And we always award a certain people for outstanding service. I'm happy to have two members of the Salesianum board with me this morning to talk about their vocation, their formation, and their service on the board. We have Connie Bach, who is the chairman of the alumni board, and Mike Finley, who is the board's secretary. So welcome, Connie and Mike. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Great to be here.
Maybe for starters, if you could just tell us a little bit about your background, your family, your career, your sense of calling in terms of vocation. How did you come to the seminary? What stirred inside of you, and how did you come to that decision? Maybe we'll start with you, Connie.
Well, I had spent a lot of time doing a lot of volunteer work in the community, and I had also been the executive director of an organization called the Donors Forum, which is actually how I got to the seminary the first time. I was asked to come in and talk about foundations and what the potential was for the seminary to get foundation grants. And while I was there, someone said to me, you know, you should go to school here. And one thing led to another, and I was at that time I was experiencing what Ronald Rollheiser describes as this fundamental disease, and I was looking for something more. And so I that very day, I believe, I enrolled in a course that was going to be offered in the winter semester. And having not much of an idea of where this was all going to lead me, but knowing that I was going to go somewhere that was pretty important.
So it started with a sense of restlessness that God was calling you to do something more or something beyond what you were doing.
Yes.
Seemingly random comment offered, you immediately snatched that up and made a decision and came to the seminary. Maybe just a word about your family.
Okay. Well, yes, I'm married and have been married for 40 years, and I have two adult children. One lives in Tampa, and the other one lives here, and my husband and I are both natives of Milwaukee.
And Mike, you're a permanent deacon.
I am.
Tell us a little bit about you, your family background, your sense of vocation, how you came to the seminary.
Well, vocation, as you know, the Latin word vocal, or to call, really does apply in my life. I hate to sound Freudian or anything, but going way back to when I was a child, I had five younger brothers. So I was always in this mode of being the older one, the not necessarily the leader, but the example setter, you know, whether it was helping them clean their bedrooms or yelling at them or fighting with them or just being the kind of brother you are. You learn early on to take care of them. Mm-hmm. As I grew older, I was about 19, and I met my first permanent deacon. The man beyond inspired me. I mean, he became a part of my life at a time when I needed, it seemed, an older adult. He was my mentor and my spiritual guide. But, you know, I said, well, how does one become a deacon? Already at 19, I'm thinking this. And he's, well, first of all, you have to be 35 at the time. That was the age of ordination. So I thought, darn, there goes that. But the calling never left. Somehow that settled in my heart. And I went to college, to Whitewater. I studied sociology, and I went from right there. I started as an insurance company claims representative. A few years later, I started doing healthcare fraud investigation, which is what I have done for 29 years. And that's my career, and I have some allegiance to that college. But I don't have the sense of somehow that wasn't part of me, part of who that was something I did. Mm-hmm. And I still had that lacking, that calling, that restlessness in my heart that I needed to be doing something more. I happened to be sitting in church one day listening to the end of the Mass bulletin announcements, which people say I've never listened to. Well, I listened, and it mentioned that St. Francis was hosting an orientation for men interested in the permanent diaconate. So I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. I had that. So I went, and really the rest is history. I don't really feel I came to the seminary. Rather, I feel I was called. And I just, like Connie, you respond to that holy longing, that restlessness in your heart, and that's where I am. I was ordained in 2000 for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, served for 5 years at St. John Newman Parish in Waukesha, and then 5 years later I moved over to St. Anthony on the Lake in Pewaukee, where I currently minister out of.
So you're celebrating your 10th anniversary as a permanent deacon.
June 3rd.
That's
June 3rd, 2000. It's been a wonderful 10 years, let me tell you.
So it seems in both of your cases, you were sensing something that you couldn't put a name to. So there was an announcement or somebody issued an invitation, and you both seemed to immediately respond to that. I think that's key to hone in on, because oftentimes we're not as invitational as we should be, or we see gifts in other people and we don't necessarily call those out. So it's important for us to all to keep scattering those seeds, to encourage people, to invite them, to say, did you ever think of doing this, or you're good at that?
And absolutely.
Both of you are living examples of stepping up to the plate, because essentially someone said, you know, we invite you to come on board and to do this. How did you find your formation at the seminary? Entering into theology sometimes can be a little disconcerting. You go from being somebody in the pew, you know, somebody that has a strong faith, devotional life, but inserting theology into that can sometimes upset some of your preconceptions, but also open you up to a whole other world of understanding, you know, God and the church. Is there anything about your formation that stands out for you as something you really carry with you today as a gift to share with others?
Well, learning the language of church is a big leap.
It's like a subculture.
It is. And I was one of the first classes that I was in was Introduction to Worship and Sacrament. Hmm. And I was one of the men in the class is now leading the deacon training. And we used to sit there and say, we're learning a whole new language, and we're learning how to identify things in an entirely different way. And for me, that was very satisfying because I had felt that a lot of the things that I had access to in the parish just didn't offer me the maturity and the growth and the formation that I was really looking for as an adult Catholic. And I just kept thinking, I just need something more here. But the support, I think, it's not easy as an adult to come into a seminary and to get into a master's degree program. I mean, this is sort of true confession over the radio, but I joke all the time that I was probably older than most of the seminarians' mothers.
Wow.
And so it was a big leap for me just to go back to school and to take on the discipline. And I can't even begin to name all the people that I should thank for supporting me through all of this. And the whole notion of formation is so foreign to most Catholics. And unless you've really been exposed to a formation program, you can't even explain to your friends exactly what it's all about. And my friends and my family were very supportive of what I was doing, but they didn't understand it. But everybody at that time, I mean, the faculty, staff, everybody at the seminary was just always right there to say, okay, what's the problem and how can we get you through that? And then you learn a lot of new things that you never, learned at how to do before. And we had opportunities at the seminary that you just don't have necessarily in your parish.
It's an important distinction to make, Connie, I think, is between formation and education.
Mm-hmm.
Education forms your mind in certain ways, perhaps teaches you a certain set of skills. Formation is really forming the entirety of the person.
Yes.
And it brings up those four pillars, the spiritual, the intellectual, the human, the pastoral, that to enter into ministry or service to the church, it requires the totality of your person. It's not just forming your mind. It's everything. And that's a very key point to make.
I have to say that it was just a little unnerving at first to find out how we were going to be evaluated all the time.
It's not just a little piece of your life. It's really everything.
And then it was just all kinds of people who had access to your evaluations.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mike, what about you? How did your formation at St. Francis de Sales carry through to your ministry today? What about it do you particularly treasure? What did you find helpful, formative?
Well, I remember the very first day I walked in, and it was August in 1996. My first class was... oh, it's going to be academics. I'm going to learn. And it was a theology class with Father Mel Michalski. And he gave us the syllabus and talked about tests and evaluations. And I thought, I didn't sign up for this. I think I'm going to die. But you quickly learned that it's all a gift. It's all a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I think my number one piece of formation that I learned that I got out of it was the art of theological reflection. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned about the totality of the person. But everybody is a total sum. Sure, we learned academics and spirituality, but what I learned more is to really get into the heart of the other person and think and experience, think through God's eyes, through my eyes. What did I just see? Who am I talking to? What did I experience?
Formation really opens you up.
It really
does. That's a great thing. It's a painful thing. It's a glorious thing. But it makes you open to God, to others, to the church, to suffering, and it enables you to really be in the heart of Christ, and in the world, helping to witness
really
to that.
Does.
We're blessed to have Connie Bach and Deacon Mike Finley with us. They're both alums of St. Francis de Sales Seminary, and they're here with us today talking about their vocation, their formation, and what they're currently up to. You're listening to New Heart, New Spirit, your radio show about St. Francis de Sales Seminary. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Did you know we have a few Marian treasures right here in the Milwaukee area? Why not visit the beautiful and scenic Marian Shrine of the Milwaukee Archdiocese located at 141 North 68th Street, or the Basilica of the National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians at Holy Hill? These scenic shrines offer a perfect place to relax, reflect, and pray. Brought to you by SendGlob Financial for all your financial needs at 262-646-4466. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Investments Incorporated.
The Relevant Radio Fall Pep Rally.
The Milwaukee team here with some encouraging words from Father Rick Heilman, frequent guest on The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
Vince Lombardi once said, "Perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence." We need to ask ourselves, who's on our team? Who's helping us to reach our greatest potential? There's no doubt that Relevant Radio is leading the way in inspiring literally thousands of people to live exceptional and holy lives. We need to support that. Being a part of the Relevant Radio team is about being a part of something noble and good and incredibly important for all of us to seek after holy and exceptional lives. Vince Lombardi put it this way, "I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has to work his heart out in a good cause and he's exhausted on the field of battle victorious."
Support your Milwaukee team.
877-291-0123. 877-291-0123.
New heart, new spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hyatt.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. I'm Father Don Hyatt, the rector there. And today we're honored to have two guests with us, Connie Bach and Deacon Mike Finley, who are both alums of the seminary. We've been talking about their sense of call, their formation at the seminary, and what they've taken with them as a gift forward from those years of being formed as a servant to the church. So welcome back, Connie and Mike. I'd like to reflect with you just for a moment on what you're doing today. What shape, what activities are you involved in terms of the church, the community, and how have you seen that evolve since you've graduated from the seminary? Deacon Mike, maybe we'll start with you.
Well, I think one of the primary charisms or spiritual gifts that I received through the seminary, at least the prompting of it, is that ministers are really animators. We can't do it all. We're just simply not enough, nor are we called to do it all. But rather, we're to, like you say, invite or bring out the gifts in other people. And that's, again, one of the primary things I learned at the seminary is to simply be an animator of the community. At my current parish, St. Anthony on a Lake in Pewaukee, I try to do just that. I'm involved in a number of committees, St. Vincent de Paul, Human Concerns, and Marriage and Family Ministry, all of which are vibrant, all of which are really grace-filled ministries with some wonderful people. I'm not there to do it all. I'm not there to do their job. They certainly can. What I'm there is to guide them, to maybe discern what their gifts are, to invite them. You talked about inviting before, and that's so crucial. Any chance I get, I learn, because having been invited at a young age, I invite others. And yeah, there will be some that will say no, or not yet, but there's always those that you hit at the right moment, and they say yes. So that's one of the main gifts. As far as what I do at the parish, one of the gifts I've carried on from the seminary, and not to belittle it all, is the academic formation. It was certainly prime. Wonderful, gifted professors, priests, dedicated lay people, wonderful academics. And that helps not so much in the day-to-day, but rather if I'm doing a baptism, I'll get a question from somebody, "Well, why do Catholics do it this way?" Or another man may say, "Well, I've been a Catholic all my life, and I have this type of question," or whatever it is. And it's nice to be able to answer them in a way that I feel I know that I'm speaking as Mike Finley, but I'm also speaking on behalf of the church, and I need to give an appropriate answer and an answer that also can help satisfy their whatever their longing might be in their hearts. So that's one of the graces I think the seminary has bestowed upon me that I can then give back to the wider parish community.
And the parish is the basic experience of the church. So to be inserted into the life of a parish, to know those people, love those people, speak God's word to them, all of that is tremendous and a blessing. How about you, Connie? What are you doing? I know you're involved in a myriad of activity. What are some of the highlights? We don't have time for it all.
Well, the highlights for me are the work that I have been able to do with women in the Archdiocese. I've always been very directed toward ministry for women and with women. I think I identify with women's longings and needs, and as they try to grow and develop, you know, kind of a more enriched spiritual life. And there are a bunch of things that I've done along the way. The thing that I like the best that I've done since I graduated is each year Bishop Skilba and I organize a morning for women in the Archdiocese. And it's just been a great experience for both of us. And as you know, this year we held it at the seminary, which was even made it a better morning than we had ever had before, because we were able to do our prayer services in the chapel at the seminary. And I, quite frankly, have even gotten him to agree to do one after he retires. So I think as long as both of us can keep going, I do also do some work for Randy Knoll. I help organize the Palium Lectures.
Tell us about the next one. I know there's one coming up, so here's some great free advertising for you.
Some free advertising. The next Palium Lecture will be on Thursday, October 21st at Mount Mary College at 7 o'clock in the evening. And our speaker will be Father James Martin, S.J., who is the author of several books and the cultural editor of America Magazine. Mm-hmm. And he is going to talk about joyfulness in the spiritual life, which for me couldn't be a better topic. Mm-hmm. I think we need to all find more joy in the spiritual life, and I'm very excited about him being here.
He's written two books that I've read. One is Praying with the Saints, and the other is The Guide to Everything Jesuit, or Using Jesuit Spirituality to Look at Life. And just a great author, very down to earth and yet very profound. So it'll be great to be there. So everyone is welcome to that.
Everyone in the Archdiocese is welcome. And there are great ways to register. Mm-hmm. And we just ask people to register so we know who's coming.
Now, both of you are members of our Alumni Association. Connie, you're president, and Mike, you're secretary. And I had said a little bit at the beginning of the show that the Alumni Association is the official body for alums of the seminary, both lay and clerical. Essentially, we have two events every year. One is an ethics lecture in the spring, and the other is the annual Fall Alumni Day. The ethics lecture is new. Last spring was the first one, and we had a lecture in Christian sexual ethics. One will be coming up next spring on ethics in the workplace and kind of, you know, the ethics of work in general and linking one's vocation to action in the world as a Christian. Mm-hmm. The alumni dinner is a way for people to come together at the seminary and renew friendships and to pray together. To eat together. I always say Catholics are best at praying and eating, so we have both of those. But it's also a way to highlight three award winners. And Connie, could you talk a little bit about those awards, what they mean, and perhaps who is going to receive them this coming Sunday?
Awards are a way for us all to remember where our graduates are ministering and how they're ministering, and it's a way for us to recall and to remember all of the things that people are doing all and whose hearts everyone is touching and what places, exotic and familiar. There are three awards. The first award, which this year will go to Bob Schulke, who is at Three Holy Women Parish, and is very well known among those parishes for his work in social justice, and he's the director of human concerns there. It's the Spirit of St. Francis Award, and it's conferred annually on a graduate beginning in the first 10 years of ministry service. It's the oldest award, actually, that the seminary gives. It's been around for a long time. The second award is the Annecy Award, and that and these awards, I hasten to add, are open to anybody that graduates from priestly formation, lay formation, birth degree and certificate, from the diaconate and the college programs. And the Annecy Award, of course, is named for the city where St. Francis de Sales was a bishop and where both he and St. Jane Frances de Chantal are buried. And it's a seminary graduate who has been engaged in any form of pastoral work in an exemplary way. And this year that award will go to Pat Bruce, who was in one of the first women to graduate from the seminary in 1978. And she's now the director of Family Caregiver Support Network at the Interfaith Older Adults Network. And the other award is the Psaltery Award, and that's the newest award that we give. And it's not awarded every year, but this year it is for a seminary graduate for extraordinary or heroic service. And this year it will go to Father
Lawrence Dunkley.
Also a graduate of 78. So we have a pair of graduates from 78, and that should make all those graduates around that time come to celebrate their graduates. And he's the director of the Center for Spiritual Care at Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire. So he is incarnated in another diocese.
He's a priest of La Crosse, I believe.
Yeah.
Right.
And a graduate of the seminary, and who worked quite heavily with Archbishop Listecki when he was in La Crosse around healthcare issues.
The Alumni Association just reminds us that there is a linkage between priesthood, between the diaconate, between lay ministry, that all of us together are engaged in the service of the church and the living out of the gospel. And even though in the last 6 years, the permanent diaconate program has moved to the John Paul II Center, lay ministry program has moved to Cardinal Stritch in the Clare Center, it does not mean at all that the Archdiocese has renounced its interest and its support in forming people in all of those areas of ministry and service. So if there's listeners out there tuned into this show who, like Connie and Mike, feel restless, feel that God is calling them to do something more, please contact the John Paul II Center for Diaconate and Cardinal Stritch for lay ministry, because we constantly need new people to carry the gospel forward into this new and challenging age of the 21st century. Just a couple events coming up. There's an annual Life Directions Retreat weekend, September 24th to the 26th. It's a weekend for single Catholic men. It will be held at the seminary. It's for those that are discerning a possible call to the priesthood or religious life. For more information, call the Vocations Office at 747-6437. That's 414. And also there's some new vocations discernment groups beginning under the leadership of Father Peter Berger, the new Associate Director of Vocations. One is for high school students, and meetings are held on the first Saturday of the month. This first one is Saturday, October 9th. And one is for men 18 to 35 discerning the priesthood. And the first meeting is Friday, October 8th in the evening. Contact Father Peter Berger at pberger@sfs.edu for more information, or visit the vocations website, www.thinkpriest.org. Mike and Connie, it's been a blessing to have you on the program today. Your presence reminds us that God calls all of us to our own appropriate vocation within the church. And when we find that place and run with it, we discover this tremendous life of adventure. So thank you for all that you do for the church. And thank you for being here today. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. God bless you. And please tune in next week to listen to Archbishop Listecki as we continue to bring you the good news of the seminary and the Archdiocese.
This week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee has been brought to you by the Senglob Financial Group.
To contact Father Hying, log on to relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword seminary. And be sure to join us next time for This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, on Relevant Radio, 100.1 FM.